In our fifth episode, you'll hear from Jessica Gigo, owner of Harmony Fields, which produces farmstead cheese and organic herbs. The farm is located in the Skagit Valley of Washington State. Harmony Fields aims for a closed-loop system and self-sufficiency. It also offers educational opportunities that foster creativity, kindness, and place-based living. Jessica shares her lessons about animal health management, soil health, marketing, and crop management. You'll learn about the importance of carving out a niche and having different local marketing outlets.
Hello, and welcome to Fresh Growth, a podcast by the Western SARE Program, the Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education. I'm your host, Stacey Clary. Just for background, Western SARE is funded by USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture to promote sustainable farming and ranching across the American West through research, education, and communication efforts like this podcast. Today's guest is Jessica Gigo, owner of Harmony Fields, which produces artisan farmstead sheep cheese and organic herbs in Washington. Jessica, welcome, and thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell folks exactly where you're located and what is it like there?
Yeah, I'd love to. We are located in the northwest corner of Washington. The valley that we farm in is about an hour south of the Canadian border. And from our farm, you can see the Cascade Mountains and Mount Baker to the east. And then you can see the San Juan Islands and the Puget Sound to the west. And our farm itself is on, we're about 11.1 feet above sea level. So we're really aware of where water is compared to where our farm is.
Exactly. It sounds absolutely beautiful there. It's gorgeous. And you are raising sheep and growing herbs on this farm.
Yeah, we started out initially, we've been on the property for about 8 years, and we started out initially growing mixed vegetables, which included herbs. And we did that for farmers markets for about one season, and then we were doing wholesale vegetables after that. And we had a few pet sheep, and sort of over time, I was breeding the sheep, kind of was getting interested in learning more about them, and did a little bit of homestead milking. And we really fell in love with the sheep, and I really fell in love with the cheese making process. And so a few years ago, we decided to transition out of vegetables and do sheep production or sheep cheese production. And then also we did maintain the mixed herb production because we do both fresh and dried herbs.
And how has that worked out for you, the transition from the vegetables to the cheese?
It's been a really interesting transition. I think I always thought of myself as a plant person. That's sort of how I got into agriculture, through just a background in biology and plant biology specifically. So having the sheep, I sort of joked with people that it was like my adult 4-H project. and I just really love all the aspects of caring for them, from the milking itself to lambing, to general, grazing rotation plans. It's been really a good learning experience for me, kind of seeing how they fit into the farm and how we can work with them. And then I do still love working with plants. And so, herbs are kind of a nice niche crop for us. And so it's fun to do herbs on a larger scale as well, which is something we've been working on for a while.
And which herbs are you growing?
We grow primarily culinary herbs, so things like a lot of basil, sage, thyme, oregano, mint, and then we grow things like tarragon and parsley and chives. And then, we have grown some medicinals as well, like chamomile and calendula. So there's just a lot of interesting herbs that actually do pretty well here in the Pacific Northwest. So it's been fun finding different places for those, and we're continuing to sort of expand that part of the business. Although we did kind of take a break from doing the sort of the scale of field production we were doing as we were building our creamery facility for the sheep. And so we're just realizing that farming is not a linear path. You kind of learn along the way, and you change things, and you reinvent yourself. And I think I'm really happy with where we are right now in terms of the types of products we're producing.
Wonderful. And the creamery is on site?
It is. Yeah, we actually, we had an old barn on the property where we live used to be a cow dairy. in the 30s and 40s, and somewhere around the 60s or 70s, it stopped being a cow dairy and became a private home. And so the previous owner had sort of redone the old barn, but they made it into more of a workspace. So it really wasn't, half of the barn actually has plastic siding on it. So it gets really good light, but it's horrible for animals or any other project. So we built a new barn for the sheep. And we also built a creamery, adjacent to that. And we put solar panels on the sheep barn. So the whole, creamery dairy project runs on solar power.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. You mentioned that farming isn't linear, and it's a relatively new farm. I think you said 8 years. So what's that experience been for you over the last 8 years as a relatively new farmer, making decisions on what changes to make and what new products to try? What has your experience as a relatively new farmer been like?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I have found it to be very humbling. I think that's the first word that comes to mind. Also sort of invigorating, and it's a very creative process. So I just feel like we've been almost kind of hyper-stimulated over the last 8 years, sort of figuring out what we're doing here and why we're doing it. I came into agriculture through agriculture research, and so never really had any kind of long-term experience working on a farm outside of a research farm. So I just had a lot to learn in terms of our routines, marketing, soil management, animal health management. So we started small, you know, with the sheep. We just had a handful of sheep initially, and that was a really good way to just get to know how to manage them and how to maintain a good, healthy flock. And then with the crops, you know, we started out growing a lot of different things, and you realize you can't really do everything. And so, the past 8 years have been a lot about narrowing, focusing. I mean, we still consider ourselves to be a pretty diverse small farm, but, we've really had to carve out a niche for ourselves. And that's something that just really takes time. There's only so much you can learn in a season. So 8 years, while that seems like a long time, is just such a short period of time in sort of the larger window of farming.
Mm-hmm. And that's your family? It's a family farm, correct?
Yeah, my husband and I run the farm. We also have two daughters that are 4 and 2. So we started out doing a lot of this work without children, and now we're also figuring out how to sort of be a family on the farm. And there's a lot of benefit to that. I think our kids are learning a lot, probably more than they want to know at their ages, about sheep and soil and just work ethic. And so we're hoping that they'll want to get more involved with it in the work as they get older.
Right. And you also mentioned finding your niche. How do you market the herbs and the cheeses that you're making and your products? What is your niche and how do you market those?
Yeah, I think, you know, we started out doing, like I mentioned, a few farmers market, and really found that more wholesale direct customers worked better for us. So it's been a mixture of things. You know, really it's about getting out there. I mean, I've done a lot of work just meeting chefs and talking to different producers like bakers and other, you know, processors about how, you know, they can use our product. And some of those relationships have stuck and some have sort of faded away. I think relationship cultivation is a really big part of farming that, you know, you don't hear about from the onset, but that also takes several seasons to just build trust and connection with the people you're selling to, and to just get on the same page with them about seasonality and volume and things like that. And same thing with the sheep cheese. We do quite a bit of farmers market sales with our sheep cheese, but we're also working on connecting with restaurants and stores to get a wider distribution outside of the valley. So we've been in, you know, different stores in Seattle area, and we'd like to expand beyond that in the future. We're also part of a local food hub that kind of started around the same time that we started farming here. And so it's been an interesting experiment to see how we can work with that food hub and how it can help us reach new customers. So we're really kind of open to all different scenarios. in regards to getting product out there. And as a small farm, you kind of have to have a lot of different avenues. We also just started a cheese CSA, which has been a really fun way to connect people to the farm. People come to the farm every other week and pick up cheese during the season. And that we just really loved that experience because we have a really good core group of buyers that, you know, are small families near us. And it's nice to know that, you know, our cheese is playing a role in kind of their daily meals in different ways. And so that's something we're definitely going to continue into the future as well.
It sounds like a wonderful idea. I would love to have a cheese CSA around here.
Yeah, I know. It's really, you know, because we do have a lot of people that love sheep cheese. I mean, that's one of the reasons I wanted to make cheese out of the sheep's milk is because I just love the quality and taste of sheep's milk cheeses. And then there's a lot of people that can't that are lactose intolerant or can't process cow dairy, but they can process sheep dairy. And on the digestibility scale, a lot of sheep dairy products are more digestible than even goat dairy products. So I also like being able to offer that alternative to people that haven't had cheese in many years because they can't find a cheese that they can eat. So that also feels really good.
Yeah, that's great. How does the feedback loop work? You said you taught yourself about the sheep and you taught yourself about making cheese, and now you've got customers who are part of a CSA or they buy from a farmer's market. Do you learn new cheeses based on some requests from your customers? How does that work as far as like what cheeses you decide to make?
Yeah, no, we're just entering into our third year as a licensed creamery and dairy. And so we're really sticking to a core selection of cheeses. So two fresh cheeses and an aged tome cheese. And we also can make a yogurt as well, but we don't do that throughout the whole season. It's something we do in small batches. We really we're listening to our customers, but we're also, you know, just really trying to get good at the few things that we can make. I think a lot of times, especially with cheese, because there's so many amazing types of cheeses to make, you can really get spread thin. And so our strategy is to just do a few things, but do them in larger volume. So we do listen to our customers, and the cheese CSA gives us some flexibility to do some small batches of various cheeses we don't normally make, like a ricotta or a queso blanco, and offer that to them specifically, but not something that we would package and sell to a larger store.
You mentioned your work with a food hub. Can you describe what a food hub is and how you work with that?
Yeah, this is a wholesale food hub. I know that term, it has a couple different meanings, but in our case here with the Puget Sound Food Hub, it's a central sort of aggregate location that collects products from local farmers, and that's, you know, fresh produce, cheese, meats, honey, all sorts of different things. And then we'll deliver that out to other areas, primarily Seattle area or out to the San Juan Islands, areas that are really just difficult for farmers to get to on a weekly basis to deliver their products themselves. We have sort of an online purchasing system, and then buyers, which are a lot of times their stores or their restaurants in the Seattle area, they can kind of buy in bulk from different farms and put together a nice complete order of what they need and get it delivered directly to their location without the hassle of having to sort of meet up with a lot of different farmers at different places. I think, you know, some chefs really thrive on that, going to the farmers market, meeting people, you know, sort of gathering their products from different places. But, you know, on a practical level, it's a pretty hard thing to do week to week when you're running a business and managing people. So the food hub, the ultimate goal of the food hub is sort of efficiency on both ends, making sure the farmer, you know, isn't spending their whole week delivering, distributing their product, and then also making sure that it's convenient for the purchaser.
Right. It sounds like a very good project, and it appears to be working for you so far.
Yeah, we do some of our sales there. We've definitely met some new customers that way. And, you know, again, I think it is still a bit of an experiment, but you know, it's been a really good lesson for us in cooperation, in connecting with the farms around us and helping to sort of build an identity, not just for our own farm, but for the region that we farm in. So I think a lot of people, you know, the food hub that we work with has a reputation for just good, high quality product. And we're happy to be a part of that.
Great. And you appear to have a very clear vision of your farm and why you're doing it. You mentioned earlier you don't have a farming background. How did you get so interested that you started this farm 8 years ago and to work towards that vision?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I appreciate you saying that because I haven't always had a clear vision, so I'm glad that that's how it seems to you at this point. I did not grow up on a farm. I didn't grow up in a rural area. I grew up in the suburbs, and in the summers when I was in high school, I worked at a plant landscaping company. And so that kind of piqued my interest in just cultivation in general and plants and gardening. And I kind of carried that into college and ended up studying biology in college and, you know, was involved in various field research projects, but never really felt like anything was clicking for me. And after that, I just really got interested in food and knowing where my food came from. And so that led me to, you know, experiment a bit, you know, just trying out different, working on different farms, sort of just seeing how farms worked and not really knowing why I was doing that. I just had this sort of intense curiosity about understanding food and where it came from. And so, and that led me into graduate school. And so what brought me to the Skagit Valley was I was doing research on some of the major crops here, like potatoes and raspberries, mainly looking at soil health and sustainability in those systems and looking at, you know, alternate ways that growers could manage plant diseases outside of their sort of conventional tools, which some of those are great tools. And I know in a lot of cases, farmers are sort of looking for new options to manage plant diseases and overall farm health. So, you know, I had a strong interest in soil health, but I also just, you know, I mentioned this before, I kind of just had this creative urge. Like I just really wanted to take all of the things that I had learned and try to put them into a working business. And, you know, I feel like we're at a place right now where we've kind of dialed in the type of work that we want to do, but it definitely wasn't a straight shot, you know, cause we did try mixed vegetables, you know, I was interested in a lot of different things and I wanted to learn how to grow a lot of different things when I actually, you know, moved on to this piece of ground. And I think, you know, it's just been that sort of curiosity that's led me to the point that we are now. Outside of farming, I also teach. And so, you know, as we've been developing the farm, I've also been teaching soil and agriculture classes. And the more I teach, the more I realize that, you know, some of the solutions that people are talking about are only going to come into effect if there are growers that can actually implement those solutions on the ground. And so for me, the farm is a way to integrate the learning and the research that I've done into something that's actually happening on the ground. And, you know, we're learning the hard way that some things work and some things are really hard to do. And so, you know, just over time, we're sort of slowly trying to make our farm a sustainable closed loop system. And it's not necessarily an easy thing to do.
No, it is not easy. What are some of the specifics for you for sustainability? You talked about soil health, the way you raise your animals. What does sustainability look like for you on your farm?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's something I think about a lot because that word sustainable is so layered. And so, you know, I like to kind of break it into two categories of, you know, economic sustainability and environmental sustainability. And, you know, those things are close to each other, but they're not, a lot of times they don't overlap, I think. And that's the case for a lot of farming systems. We, you know, because the animals have become a bigger part of the farm, we sort of have this new, it's sort of an opportunity and a problem in that we have all of this new fertility in terms of sheep bedding and materials. And so we're kind of working on how to use that to build up our own soils. We're also becoming sort of grass farmers now. For a long time, I never really thought about pasture. In fact, I thought it was kind of a boring topic. But we have really been looking into, you know, how can we make food for our sheep. You know, we do work with a local feed mill. We do have to do some supplementing. Right now we're getting all of our hay from a local potato farmer, but we're really trying to learn about how we can get as much nutrition as we can from our pastures, because that's sort of another way of closing the loop. The herbs that we grow are all certified organic, and we, you know, we use the sort of composted manure from the sheep to fertilize the herbs, but then there's still a lot of questions about how to feed the sheep and how to maintain their health to the level that they need it as dairy animals, because milk production is such an intensive process for the body. You know, really trying to look at what we can source locally to have healthy sheep and healthy soil and really be, you know, as independent as we can as a farm. And, you know, I wouldn't say that we're totally independent or even close to being independent, but the fact that we're sort of searching for those opportunities is a sort of a path towards sustainability that is, I think, what most farms should be trying to do at this point. Like, no one's going to be perfect, but we all need to be kind of searching for those ways to close our own loops in order to make the farm as self-sufficient as possible.
That's a really interesting vision, and you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's steps, but I think that that's correct of everybody like working towards their ability to incorporate the sustainable practices and look at the whole system on their farm.
Yeah. And we, you know, other things we do too, we, you know, as I mentioned, we have all of the sheep equipment running on solar panels, and that's been a really good addition to the farm. For the creamery too, we capture all of our wastewater and use that to irrigate our pastures. So we're, trying to be, you know, as innovative as we can in regards to what we're generating, producing versus what we have to dispose of. And so those are been really interesting steps forward. And so we're still kind of monitoring how that's all working as a whole.
You also mentioned the economic side of sustainability. How are you seeing it play out, how you're moving within your farm, these practices you're using, trying to close that loop? And the bottom line, are you seeing it in profitability? Do you see it in the quality of your cheese? How's that playing out for you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, we're just entering into our third year with the cheese. And, you know, I think part of our impetus towards, you know, adding this processing element to the farm was to just have a little bit more control over the work and the end product. You know, we were doing certified organic vegetables, and I think there's still a lot of opportunity in wholesale vegetable production for farmers, but you have to be at a certain scale and you have to have a certain amount of help to make that happen. And really, you know, when it comes down to it, my husband and I, we both kind of want to be doing the work, maybe not all of it. We're definitely getting better about asking for help, but to stay at the sort of scale that we're at, right now we have about 5 acres that we own. We rent 5 acres, and we're looking at renting more than that 5 acres for more pasture access, but probably not more than, say, 20 to 30 acres over time. We'd like to try to stay at the scale that we're at and be profitable. And for us, the way to do that was to invest in the infrastructure needed to produce a value-added product like cheese, continue the herb production. We also have an herb dryer, so we offer dried herbs as well, which is a value-added product, and try to look at those types of things that we could offer so that we could, you know, be doing the work and be generating income in a way that we felt good about.
And then you're experimenting on your farm, or as you said, just, you know, shifting gears sometimes because of what you've seen. You teach, and you mentioned that you've done research. And I do know that you have a Western SARE grant, which would incorporate on-farm and its research and its education. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing there?
Yeah, I would love to. I was really excited to get the Farmer Rancher grant because we had some specific questions we were trying to answer. And, you know, within the farming season, it gets so busy and hectic that, you know, without the structure of a project like that, it's sort of hard to answer those questions. So we're just in our first year of the grant. And as I mentioned, I just mentioned that we rent land from a neighbor, and it's a potato farm. And, you know, we're in this interesting arrangement where we are just on a continuous cycle of 2-year leases, and we're slowly but surely trying to extend those leases and extend the amount of ground that we're renting. But I think the potato farmer has a lot of, you know, questions about, you know, what's happening with his land, how that's going to work for him over time. He has about a 3-year rotation between potatoes. And so this brought up a lot of interesting questions about how does sheep grazing affect the soil? How would it potentially affect subsequent potato crops? And in my work previously, I did a lot of work on potato diseases. So I was really excited about the chance to work on potatoes again, although I did not want, my goal here is not to find diseases. When I was working in plant pathology, I was always really excited to find diseases. And now that it's my own farm, I don't want to find anything. But but I think there's some really, you know, that, and this is a, you know, a fourth or fifth generation farm. We're a first generation farm. They own, you know, hundreds and hundreds of acres. We own 5 and rent 5. So it's, there's 2 things kind of going on for us. One is just answering these questions about soil health and rotation and the role that grazing sheep can have on preserving soil health in this valley, which sort of valley-wide, there's some pretty big questions going on right now about the long-term impact of crops like potato on soil health and plant nutrition. So we're looking at aspects of that, but then we're also kind of looking at this dynamic of a small farm working with a large farm, and how do you communicate, how do you share land in a way that's co-beneficial versus us just asking, you know, for help from them. So it's really been an interesting process. I'm just, you know, right now processing the data from the first season. And we're also looking at, you know, pasture quality, because no one has really looked at dairy sheep pasture in the Pacific Northwest, because right now, as far as I know, there's only 2 other sheep dairies in Washington state. So, you know, we've been using sort of our local pasture mix, but I'm not quite sure it's doing enough for our sheep, and it potentially could be doing more for the soil for us and our potato farmer neighbors. So there's a lot of interesting sort of interdependent questions here that we're trying to get at, and the grant has been a really fun way to start to look at them.
That sounds like a great experience, and the fact that there's the social side that you're looking at, and then also the production side, and I like that aspect of how smaller farmers interact with the larger farmers. So that'll be really interesting to read what happened when the project is finished and how it all went.
Yeah, I know, and we're really, you know, we have a great relationship with our neighbors already, and this is kind of a fun way to sort of deepen that connection.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the fact that after you do get some results, you can share those within your region for people who are looking at, you said there's only 2 others, but for the sheep dairies and the question about soil health and growing potatoes. So how do you plan on maybe sharing some of the things that you learn?
Yeah, well, I, you know, and again, with the sheep grazing too, it can be relevant to lamb production. There's quite a bit of lamb production in the Pacific Northwest in the areas adjacent to potato production. So we're hoping it has that impact as well. So, you know, the plan is to get out to some of the vegetable group conferences in the state. So there's the TILF Alliance, there's the Pacific Northwest Vegetable Association. I'm going to hopefully be giving presentations at both of those locations, as well as talking to some of the dairy sheep groups. There's a National Dairy Sheep Association, and there's also our Washington State Sheep Producer Association. And so really trying to connect with the groups that are doing this work. We also have an annual conference here in Western Washington on potato production, since that is one of the more important crops in the region. And then there's the Washington State Potato Commission. And so looking at ways to communicate this information through their channels. Those are kind of some of the initial goals. And then also we're trying to just see who else wants to know about it. So we probably will have a field day or something along those lines to let people kind of see firsthand what we've been working on.
Right. What advice do you have for young growers who want to farm sustainably and farm successfully?
That's a really good question. I, you know, I didn't set out initially to be a farmer, and I ended up going to graduate school and getting a PhD, and you definitely do not need a PhD to be a farmer. But I have to say that you really need to, you know, find someone to mentor with. I think that's a really important thing. A lot of the small farmers around us that I think have started their businesses and become successful have, you know, previous to starting their business, worked on someone else's farm for at least 5 years or worked in research or something, where they're really trying things out and able to make mistakes and not having to pay for that themselves, because that's the worst thing, is sort of putting a lot of money and resources into something and not having it work out. And I think that's what causes a lot of young and beginning farmers to just give up or not make it. So really, you know, having the mentorship and support that you need. I think also, you know, thinking about where you fit into your regional food system. You know, I know I just love vegetables. So I wanted to grow all the vegetables and all the herbs. And, there's different people that are good at growing different things. And it just takes time to figure out what you're good at doing. And in my case, I was actually finding that I wasn't intending to be a sheep farmer, but the actual work of caring for the sheep and also just the milking, not having grown up on a dairy, I'm kind of surprised how much I like to do the actual milking and cheese making. And it took me a long time to figure that out. So, really listening to yourself, getting a sense of your own body and what you want to do with it, I think that is an important thing too, because you can kind of learn from other people's models, but until you're actually doing the work yourself, you won't really know what it is you want to do day to day. And you've kind of make sure you want to do it day to day, because it's a big commitment and you're going to be doing it for a long time. So, in addition to that, I also just always say start small. You know, like with the sheep, we had a handful of sheep, and raising them from season to season, you know, not commercially, was a really great way to get to know the animals, to understand them. And I feel like we can do a good job of taking care of our larger flock now because we have that focused experience. So, I'm definitely want to encourage people to get into agriculture, but definitely start into this field knowing, you know, what you don't know in some ways as much as you can, so that you can find the help that you need.
Mm-hmm. Definitely some very good advice there, especially the asking for help, finding a mentor, and starting small. And it sounds like what was important to you was to find the work that you enjoyed, because you're doing it every day.
Yeah. And you have to be really, committed to it. And, that with any kind of job or business, there's always going to be certain things that you don't necessarily want to do, but, making sure that the things you love to do are part of your daily routine will make it all propel forward in a sustainable way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jessica, thanks for taking the time and talking about your farm and your work and the vision and how you're fitting into your regional food system. Appreciate you talking with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Fresh Growth. We hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information on Western Serre grants and our learning resources, visit westernserre.org.